Hello, it's Peter Wright and Kathleen Beauvais in Ontario, Canada, with another episode of The Yakking Show. This is the show where we have interesting guests to give you actionable tips and advice to improve your business and your life, especially with the changing times we're heading into. You probably find more here than virtually anywhere else in one place on the internet. We always have interesting guests for you. Today will be no exception. But first, let's introduce co-host Kathleen Beauvais from down the road from me, Waterloo, Ontario. Hi, Kathleen. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Peter. Thank you so much. And thank you all for tuning into our show. We so appreciate you and love reading those comments. So please keep those coming. And if anyone is interested in being a guest on our show, we would welcome you to visit our website at theyakkingshow.com. All you need to do is click on the Contacts tab, and you will find a very short application form. And we would love to hear from you. And as Peter mentioned, we do have another special guest with us today. Her name is Amanda Gracio. Hello, Amanda. Welcome to the show.
Hello,
Are you?
Kathleen and Peter. Thank you for having me.
Excellent. Now, Amanda, you are the
Hi,
founder.
Amanda.
You are the founder and CEO of Studio Gracio, and that's a design agency specializing in branding. But
Yes.
first, before we delve into all of that, can you tell us a little bit about your background and what led you into the world of graphic design?
Yeah, sure. So I have been interested in the visual arts for as long as I can remember. I was the kid who was like creating books out of blank paper. And like, I don't know if you remember those posters that used to come in the tubes and you unroll them and you could like color them in. You
Yes.
know, like that was my thing. It's like there was nothing better than a new pack of markers, you know. And then home computers came on the scene and I started to see how I could create like visual stuff with that. Like my dad definitely fed into that hobby. He got me my first like, you know, art programs on the computer and stuff, and I played around with them. And then in high school, my art teacher there introduced me to Photoshop. And that was when like design as a thing, you know, like art with intention, basically, in the digital medium, I was like, oh, this is like a thing I can do like as a job. And so a short time later, when it came time to go to college, I was like, well, that's what I'm gonna do, you know, mix the art and the tech and do design. And that is kind of the story. I've been doing it ever since.
Wow, it sounds like you have a real passion for what you do, which is key, isn't it?
Yes,
It
absolutely.
really is. Yeah. Go ahead, Peter.
So for you then, computers came along at about the right time, right? Because
They
for
definitely did, yeah.
You know, for old guys like me, we were already adults and well into our working life before the first computers came on the scene. I was fortunate that I enjoyed them and picked it up quickly. But this is not about me, it's about you. So, as I've just mentioned, I'm old. I've been in business for many, many decades, and I've been in marketing most of that time, owned my own business. I've seen huge changes in graphic design for branding, right? You know, tastes come and go and that sort of thing. So, what are the latest trends? Where are we now, and where are we going with the convention, not convention, with design for business?
Yeah, so I think in branding specifically, we're seeing a lot more simplified design. So you'll have seen that in like the rebrands of like Warner Brothers, Volkswagen. They've taken their old like 3D, very stylized logos and like flattened them, simplified them. That's a trend across branding right now. And if you go into like places like Instagram, you know, you'll see like font trends come and go. Like one that's going on right now is this like italicized font paired with a kind of curvy serif. And you'll see that like everywhere on Instagram right now. So
Oh, right.
that kind of comes and goes. There's a little bit of a retro trend going on right now too, like kind of a 70s-esque thing with like bubble letters or that kind of groovy look in some industries, where it's appropriate, you know. So that's kind of what I've been seeing lately. I'll be interested to see where it goes in the next few years
Where it
too.
goes, right. And can I jump in quick on that
Sure.
one? We're seeing a lot of websites becoming very simple, right? And
I was just about to ask
minimalist.
that,
Sorry.
Peter. I agree with you. The simplicity, and I was wondering why is that? Is that it's just like fashion, something comes and goes, or
It's part that it's part of like the minimalist trend, but it's also like the user experience that people have with the websites. People are realizing, oh, you know, this fancy website with all like the animations and the doodads and the stuff is actually hard for people to use or to find what they want to find. So, the emergence of UX as something to like pay attention to, and that's important for your business, I think has kind of informed that simplification trend.
Do you want to explain, some of our audience might not be familiar with UX. Do you want to expand on that a little bit?
Please? Yeah, that literally just stands for user experience. So it's like how people use your website, how easy it is for them to get around, how easy it is for them to find things, accessibility for people with, you know, visual or hearing disabilities, all those kind of things go into to UX.
Okay, good.
So Amanda, can you tell us about the specific services that you offer your clients?
Yes, absolutely. So I am a brand strategist and designer. So with me, it always starts with the strategy. We get clear on what it even is you want, you know, what this thing is that you're building. What do you want it to be? What do you want it to do? How do you want to make people feel? Which people are those? Because that kind of helps us shape, you know, what we do with the design. So at the very, like the most minimal package you can do with me is a brand audit. So we go through that clarity process. And then I take a look at your current brand and see, okay, does it match up with all these things you say you want your brand to be? And if not, what are some tweaks you can make to do that? Then, of course, I offer full service branding packages, everything, you know, starting with the in-depth strategy up through the logo and the print pieces and the website and all that. And I also offer just pick my brain calls, you know, if you want to, you know, just talk to me for an hour about whatever branding issue or design issue or something you have, that is something I offer too.
Oh, excellent.
Good. That's useful to know. So you've been in the game for a while and you're an expert in your field. So tell us some of the biggest mistakes you've seen that businesses make because they don't align their brand with their marketing strategy or business strategy.
Yeah. Ooh, okay. This is this is going to be a minefield. I'd say one of the biggest ones I see, and this is especially true for like solopreneurs or like founder led businesses, where, you know, the head honcho is kind of the driving force of the business, is that they kind of let their ego get in the way of the best decisions for the business. Like they want everything their favorite color, even if it doesn't necessarily make sense for that, or they're like, well, my computer doesn't have that font, so we can't, you know, like they're very me focused instead of business focused, and that can definitely get in the way of it.
Right.
Another one I see is skipping the strategy part. You know, not actually taking the time to sit down and be intentional about what you're building. Like, okay, what is it that I want to do? How is that different in my market? Like, what is the exact audience I'm trying to reach, and why should they choose me? Like, that's really the core of what branding is supposed to communicate. Like, why should they choose you over all their other options? And people, especially when they're first starting out, like they're new to business, they kind of, you know, they just want to get it up and running. They want to, you know, get the website up, get the payment processing up, whatever it is, and like hit the ground running. They don't always take the time to, you know, have that sit down, have that brainstorm, and get clear on those issues.
Yep. Yeah. And we've seen that ourselves, haven't we, Kathleen? Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm curious about something though, Amanda. You touched on fonts a couple of times, and it used to be with respect to documents, the go-to was Times New Roman. I'm just curious. I've heard some people say, oh my gosh, that is so 90s or whatever.
I mean, it is one of the
font now, especially when it comes to documents.
It is one of the classics. I mean, I don't personally think there's anything wrong with it. Like, it's readable. It looks fine. You know, you got your bold and italics, like every computer has it. So you're not going to have an issue with it. But if you are sending documents for your business, I would always say switch it to your brand fonts. Don't just leave it in Times New Roman.
So there isn't one popular one that a lot of businesses seem to be using these days?
I mean, just for like accessibility and like Google fonts and what's available in like Google Drive documents, which is what people use, I think, more nowadays than necessarily Microsoft. Open Sans is a popular one. I see it being used a lot. Garamond,
Yeah.
popular serif one. Yeah, there's a whole bunch, but like with the free font libraries, like the Google font library, the Adobe font library, all these things, as long as it's readable, like
Right.
it's fine. Like I don't think people need to fuss too
Absolutely.
much about that in the everyday documents.
So there are some AI tools now that that create graphics. How is that impacting your business, or is it?
I don't see it impacting my business, because there's kind of two that I've seen out there that I've kind of played around with, and one is like a logo generator, and that I am not worried about at all, because the logos that it turns out are not very good. They're kind of like the flip art and generic things. So I mean, the people that are going to be using that for their logo are not the people that would be coming to me anyway, so I'm not worried about that. And then you have the ones that are like the art generators, like Midjourney, where you type in a prompt like, futuristic dystopian landscape with robots or something, and it like comes up with images. And I think this is fascinating. Like I've played around with it just for fun because, I like visual arts and it's just really, really cool. I don't think it'll have much impact on branding necessarily, as far as like, it doesn't do logos. It doesn't really do words. It's not going to take the place of stock photography because it doesn't do people very well. Like the eyes are usually a little weird, and like the hands have too many fingers and that kind of thing. but as far as like other types of like brand imagery, like if you want something that's absolutely unique, you need like an abstract background or like, some kind of futuristic landscape or like, something like that. This is a great way to do that without, having to find and hire an illustrator or find and hire a photographer. So I think it's really cool with that. I can see it being really useful for things like book covers. But yeah, for like specifically branding, it's not really applicable, but I'm having fun playing around with it.
Yeah, as we all are.
Yeah. Well, you have some experience because you were with Peter because you were playing around with that not that long ago, actually.
Yeah, I've done a few. Yeah, I find it quite interesting, but you're quite right. It doesn't quite get it right. I just very quickly, because this might be of interest to audience as well. I typed in a prompt. I've had horses most of my life, and I typed in a prompt. I said, I want a brown and white paint horse with a male rider in Western gear with a Western saddle. That was it. And it came up with an image that someone who didn't know horses would say was a photograph, right? But when you look really closely, there were no stirrups, for instance. The reins didn't connect. Little things, like you said, the reins didn't connect with the guy's hands. but they'd obviously searched the internet and come out with a guy dressed in Western gear with a cowboy hat and a horse, because the horse itself and the rider were as good as a photograph. So I found it quite fascinating. And I use it for images for blog posts where it's quite good.
Oh,
for
that's
that.
Another, yeah, that'd be a good use too, or social media. Well.
Social media, for sure. I just haven't had time to do a lot more with it. One of the platform discussion groups I'm on, there's some people there that have done some really amazing things with. Anyway, that's just one side of what we want to ask you. So we sort of touched on this when we were asking you about the mistakes people make, but even with the businesses and some of the bigger businesses that are not driven by the owner or founder's ego, they still don't get it right. So why is it so important that a business must get its strategy and its brand and everything in alignment?
Yeah, so branding, like I said, it's about communicating why they should choose you. And part of that, you have to be consistent so that you become recognizable. And then if you're recognizable long enough, it starts to build trust. But when the things that your brand is putting out or the experience your brand provides does not match up, like say, your website promises one thing with the copy and the visuals, but then the experience somebody has with your brand does not live up to that or does not match up to that, you lose that trust, and that can really damage the brand over time. So you want to kind of make sure that, you've got your core figured out, that your visuals and your copy are supporting that, communicating that, that the experience you provide lives up to that and matches that even in little ways. And that will eventually like build the reputation and build the brand that you want. So it's about keeping an eye on all those touch points and making sure you're not sabotaging yourself with your brand consistency.
Right. Well, Kathleen, can I jump in with another quick one? We've got a little bit of time in hand, so I'm going to ask Amanda another one. Kathleen and I are both in a discussion in a community on Discord, and where we discuss marketing and branding. And the guy who started the community, Mark Schaefer, is quite a brilliant marketing guy. He's been named one of the top most influential marketing people in the world. So he's pretty good. And he's just written a new book called Beyond the Brand. It's about personal branding. And he's saying that we're moving into an era where marketing has to be done on a community basis for it to be successful, that many of the old models are not working. And he's stressing the importance of each one of us as, if we're in business, personal brand, right? So are you seeing a rise in people wanting advice on how to build and promote and nurture their personal brand as opposed to their corporate brand?
Yes. And it's very interesting because it's even, you know, even with solopreneurs or serial entrepreneurs who, like, you know, they are their business, but they have like their business stuff, but then they are building their personal like thought leadership brand on the side. Yep. And that tends to present a really interesting challenge. Like, well, how do I, you know, keep that related? Like, let people know that this is still all me, still all related, but like, it's not my business. It's me. So again, the part that helps with that is the strategy. Okay. So for your personal brand, for what you're building, not as a business, just as, you know, your thought leadership, your personal brand, your, you know, reputation as a person rather than CEO of this, what do you want it to be? Like, who are you trying to reach? Who are you trying to help? So it's again, kind of, it's that same brand strategy step, maybe with just some different questions to clarify things.
But I think with the added, sorry, Kathleen, I'm going to press on a little bit. With the added complication, because of social media now, people who are trying to build their personal brand actually have to be careful what they say on social media, right? Because as we've seen from when Twitter and Facebook were doing all the shadow banning and censorship and everything else, you know, one tweet that they don't like can ruin your whole reputation, right? And just shut you off. So there's another thing you've got to be careful of.
Yeah. And that is part of the danger of the founder-led brands too, with the founder having their own, you know, platform. Because sometimes the things that they're doing on their own can impact the business, even if they're not directly, you know, running the business anymore. So that's always a danger.
Yeah. Back to you, Kathy.
So I have a question concerning a changing brand. So I've seen a lot of major corporations actually lately, and in fact, there's a bank here in Canada that has recently changed their logo. And I wonder how, because we of brand consistency, and we all know the importance of brand consistency, how do you handle that? How do you handle, you know, a company changing their logo or changing everything? Like, how do you maintain that recognition?
That's an excellent question. Yeah. Part of it depends on how much is changing. Sometimes, you know, the logo changes, but the colors stay the same. So you still get that color through. But in the cases where, you know, there's a clean slate, they're like new logo, new colors, new everything. If you don't want to lose audience and lose that trust you've built up, you prep them for it. You say, hey, we've got a rebrand in the works. Stay tuned to see, you know, sneak peeks, share, you know, behind the scenes of it being developed. And then you want to have a very clear rollout date, you know, when everything's changing over, so that you don't have, you know, the new logo here some places and the old branding here some places and like that mixed message. So you want to make sure you have a plan to roll it out seamlessly everywhere. So those are really the two, you know, prep your audience, and then seamless rollout is the key, I think.
And why would somebody want to rebrand that way? What could be the reasons to change everything up like that?
Yeah, well, I actually saw a lot of this in the last couple of years because of the pandemic, and everybody was pivoting. So if you're changing the services that you offer, if you're changing the audience that you're targeting, if, you know, you've gotten a couple of years in and realize, oh, you know, what I first started out as doesn't feel like it fits anymore. Isn't, you know, those are all good reasons to undertake a rebrand.
So that's triggered one in my mind. Can I go and ask Amanda this one? If I think back to the 80s, when I was before I went to my own business, I was in the corporate world and I was marketing manager of a big company that was on a different continent. And advertising agencies were encouraging their clients to improve their branding. And they were huge on symbolism of logos. And like the blue represents the sea and the yellow, the sun, and this little red rose in the background is because we're purified. You know what I mean? I don't hear or see anything like that anymore. To me now, logos have become much more about recognition than symbolism. Is that correct? Have you seen a shift?
I think there is less overt symbolism. I think there's probably still symbolism there. It's just a little more buried. Color psychology, like the symbolism of colors, that's still very much alive, even if they don't, you know, come out and say we picked blue because it represents trust or whatever. But that's still part of choosing the color palette. I am seeing a lot more just like word marks. Like they don't even have an icon or a symbol, but like the feel, the personality that that word mark gives off is kind of the symbolism. Like it symbolizes a certain feeling. So I'm seeing more of that.
Okay. But it's symbolizing a feeling rather than a very detailed, contrived, this represents this and that and the next thing. Yeah. Good. Thank you, Kathleen.
So, Amanda, if I were to call you up as a client, what steps would you take with me to help get things started?
Yeah. So first step is a discovery call. You know, it's just a free call that I offer. We talk. I say, hey, what's going on in your business? Why do you think you need branding help? We talk about your goals, whatever, you know, obstacles or troubles you've run up against. And then I see how I can help with that. And if I can, then we talk about, you know, my different packages and pricing and timeline and all that. And if it's a go, then, you know, you sign on, we do all the contract and the deposit and all that. And then the first step after that is that brand strategy session, getting the clarity on what you're actually trying to build. And this is true whether, you know, it's a new business or you're rebranding. That's still always the first step. And from there, once we have that solidified, we move into the design phase. And that starts with the logo suite and the color palette and the fonts, because everything builds off of that. Those are the real kind of cornerstone. And from there, it kind of depends on what your business needs necessarily. Like maybe you need social media templates, or maybe you need print pieces, or maybe you need, you know, branded document templates or a website. It kind of just depends on your specific business. But then once we have that core brand figured out, we build up from there.
And you work with people from all over the world, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Peter?
And you can build websites yourselves within your own team for people?
Yes, I do it myself. I'm one of those unicorns that does both the design and coding. And going back to a point you raised earlier, computers really did come on the scene at the right time for me because, you know, I, along with playing with art programs, I was playing on like MySpace and GeoCities and like learning HTML and like coding little fun web pages. So yeah, I've been tinkering with that just almost as long as the design programs.
Wow, very good. Okay, so your clients are in good hands there. Yeah. Good. So I got one for you, which I call my burning question. I ask all our successful guests, and you're clearly successful. And you've been, in your experience, you've dealt with a lot of businesses, large and small, entrepreneurs, ego-driven, founded, all, the whole gambit. So is there one thing in your mind, a characteristic or habit or mindset that separates those who become successful? And I don't just mean making a lot of money. I mean achieving a balanced life as well, from the ones who remain average and never really get out of the rut or get, you know, to the level of the successful ones. Is it one thing or is it more complicated?
I think it is more complicated, but if I could sum it up, I would say all the qualities would lead to intentional action. So taking, you know, knowing what you want, knowing the steps you have to take, and then actually making those steps. And people can get stuck at any one of those points. So I think being able to take intentional action towards your goals is probably the biggest thing that'll help you out on your way to success, whatever that looks like for you.
That's right. Yeah. No, I agree with you 100%. And that's one we ask all our guests, and that comes up a lot. there's probably fewer than 10 different key points that people mention. That's one of the strong ones. No one talks about getting an MBA or a university education or being born of the right parents or living in the right city. It's all these personal things. So that's great. Thanks very much, Amanda. Back to you, Kathleen.
Amanda, before we let you go, can you please tell us how do people contact you?
Yeah, absolutely. So my website is just studiogarasio.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn and Instagram. I'm more active on LinkedIn these days, but I still poke around on Instagram a little bit. So those are all the places you can find me.
We will put all that on there for our it'll be subtitles for the video viewers. And if you're just listening to an audio platform, you'll find it in the description of the audio channel you're looking at or listening to it on. Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Amanda. We so appreciated having you on the show. And once again, thank you all for tuning in. And until next time, take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.